Okay, this is Chairman Nathan Wakefield calling the meeting to order at 6:35 p.m. Eastern Time. Moving on to roll, Nathan Wakefield, present. Noel Yee.
Present.
Jared Davis.
Present.
Louis Serdek.
Present.
Martin Frost. Martin is absent. Marilyn Sullivan.
On a cruise.
On a cruise. Mike Sullivan. Also on a cruise. Afton Benson.
Present.
Kyle Johnson. Kyle is absent. Lucho Fernandez. Absent. Warren Hammond. Absent. Veronique Pervercher. Absent. And that is everyone. Moving to item 3. Would someone like to make a motion to approve the agenda for tonight?
This is Noel.
Jared, I make the motion to approve the agenda.
Whoa. All right. I'm going to call that for Noel. I think he beat you to the punch,
yeah.
Jared.
Yeah.
Second.
All right, Jared would like to second. Move to discussion. Is there any discussion about tonight's agenda? Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of tonight's agenda? Would anyone like to abstain? Agenda is approved. Moving to item 4, approval of minutes. For last month's board meeting, March 24th, 2015. Would someone like to make this motion?
Louis, I'll motion.
Thank you, Louis. Do we have a second?
Jared, I'll second.
Thank you, Jared. Is there any discussion about last month's minutes? Move to a vote. Does anyone oppose the approval of these minutes? Any abstentions? Minutes are approved. Moving right along. Going down to reports. Let's start off with a financial report with Afton Benson.
Hooray. So everything right now looks on board and awesome, at least from what I'm seeing from the – I only have the P&L through February. Dennis is not done with March yet. He is also wrapping up the 990, so I will be sending that out to you all, or at least to Nathan, shortly, once I go through it. And
hello?
Hello.
Hey, Martin. You got people here?
Yep, yeah. We're here, Martin. We're all here, Martin.
Let the meetings note that Martin Frost has joined the call.
Yep, I changed it up and rolled.
All right, thank you. Please continue, Afton. The floor is yours.
Yeah, so right now everything looks hunky-dory. Some things that Dennis brought to my attention. Yesterday, there was a $1,900 charge on the card, on a credit card, but we don't know who has the card. I looked into it. It is for the hotel we have a block in, from what it looks like. But he was concerned because we have no idea who all has a credit card. And he was sure it was signed and authorized, you know, legitimately and all that, which I agree now that I saw where it was from. But does anyone know who would have made that? My assumption is Mike Sullivan. Because I don't think Veronique has a card.
Mike Sullivan is on vacation now on a cruise starting, Tuesday, probably starting this morning. It's sort of doubtful that he did that. You'd say it's the charge at the hotel in Canada?
Yeah, it's for, oh my gosh, now I can't remember and I can't pull the email up. I'm on my phone. It's for one of the hotels, though, that we list. that we, you know, you can call for a special price there.
Well, it could have been posted by Vero if she has the credit card and was making a room reservation for special guests that were housing.
Oh, okay. That could definitely be.
Yeah, in her report, it does say that all the housing for the acts was taken care of, I believe, so that might have been it.
Okay. And that could be, yeah.
Does she have a credit card?
I did not think she did.
Is that a debit card? Is it a debit card charge or a credit card charge?
I'm not sure. It went through the Bank of America account, so I assume it's a credit card, like our, you know, like,
I don't think we have a credit card. We only have a debit card.
Okay. If it has a Visa logo, to me it all runs the same unless you're putting in a PIN number. So it came through the Bank of America account, and it wasn't a check.
Okay. We should just check with Vero, double-check that she made the charge.
Yeah. So does anyone in this meeting have a credit card so that I can compile a list? I know we're going to address more of this later in the meeting anyway, but I do have to go, but I'm trying to keep track a little bit so I can let Dennis know at least as well.
I'm fairly certain Aaron Stevens has one.
Okay.
Last I knew, Scott Krause did, but he's not currently an officer, so I don't think he has authorization to be using it at this point.
Was he the last treasurer?
Correct.
Okay, so he's mailing me, like, the checkbook and some other stuff. I haven't gotten it yet, but I'll let you guys know when I do.
Okay, great.
He just shipped it, like, Monday or Tuesday, I think, so.
Oh, that's great.
And I know we're going to address that further, but I just wanted people to be aware, so if people had ideas of why it was going through, it all looked and sounded like something that would have been authorized, but... You know.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I'm sorry.
Yeah, great work, Eff. Definitely something to address.
That's what I've got.
Okay. Well, thank you. Is there any further discussion on the financial side of things?
I
have a question about the festival expenses. Mike was raising the question of the issue of whether we actually have contracts with the various facilities. Yes. Apparently we don't. And the festival is only 2 months away, so I'm not quite sure what's going on there.
This is Noel. We had a meeting the other day with Nathan, Mike, and myself. There's only one venue that is yet to be secured. The CISGIP is secured. I mean, it doesn't matter. The big gym is reserved, the Imperial Theater. And they're just waiting, and it's 100% locked in, just not signed for the École du Cirque based upon a security matter. See if we can get around the security cost before we sign the contract.
Okay, I'm glad to hear it's only one, but that's still apparently something we just need to get firmed up.
Absolutely. We agree. Yeah, that was mentioned in the meeting by Mike, and we went over that a little bit. So we'll have more news soon.
Great.
Cool. Any more discussion? Okay. Then we move on to the 2015 IJA Festival Report. Veronique did submit one, so you can view it there. And we'll move on to discussion.
It is to be noted, should be written down at least to pass it on, is that the École du Cirque contract has not been signed, and we are awaiting the resolution upon a security matter to sign the contract, hopefully to save some money. That should just be written somewhere.
Okay.
There's also, I don't have access to this right now, but there are minutes to a meeting that took place between Mike, Nathan, Vero, and myself a few days ago, wherever that is. I can drop that in here somewhere. It's just there's been communication between IJA and with Vero regularly, with Nathan and Mike separately, and also with me separately, and then us all together. Yes.
For the minutes, could you restate the name of that venue, Noel?
Yeah. The Ecole de Cirque. I don't know. E-C-O-L-E. I'm not, like, too good at French here. But
let's see if I can copy and paste it from there.
It's the Ecole de Cirque de Quebec. It's the ECQ, and it's otherwise known as the Circus School.
Yep.
Okay. Any more discussion about the festival?
I'm just curious, I don't know if it's in here, but the fun project she was looking for applicants for, is there any word on that in here somewhere?
The project?
The fun team, she said she had a fun team, she was putting it on the internet. I didn't ask in the meeting, but there was like a fun.
Yeah, the Festival Awesomeness Fund. I believe it was last week for that. The set is myself, Viral, he's the chair of this committee. Kyle, myself.
You're breaking up a lot.
You're breaking up, Nathan.
We have a committee approved for this.
Okay, cool. Like, that's all.
Yeah.
You're breaking up again, Nathan.
Can you hear me?
Heard you say that. I don't know if you said something before. Can you hear me? But we just heard that.
I can dial in on a secondary system. I'm picking up too badly. How do I sound now?
Sounds a little better.
Okay, well.
Hi, Afton. Thank you.
To dial square.
You're breaking up.
Stand by window.
We just again.
Did Afton leave?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to see if Nathan had left.
Nathan.
Do you want to cut all of us off if he leaves?
Nathan Wakefield.
Oh, he's coming back.
Nathan Wakefield.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, can you hear me more?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm dialing in on a different store.
See if I can mute my...
Okay, good. Can you still hear me?
Yep.
Okay, great. Sorry about that. I'm going to continue. Any further discussion?
Can you mute the other phone?
Is there still an echo?
No.
That killed the echo?
Yeah, I think so. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion on the festival?
My only one I would have to say is that the officers needed number 4. If anybody wants to fill any of those, particularly planning the juggling seat, I'm surprised that Bill's not going, but I don't know. That's my main question, just the number 4.
Well, Last time I talked to Vera, she was implying that they might not do the Planting the Juggling Seed show this year for troubles with both the venue and finding a coordinator. That's the last I heard, though.
Okay.
I believe she did find a new vendor's coordinator, so I think that's taken care of. Or maybe I'm thinking of workshop coordinator.
We have workshop work coordinators. There are two people working on that.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. She sent out an email, I believe it was last night.
The workshop coordinators are Alex and somebody else, I know.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so... Yeah, I think she's still looking for... Yes. They have a volunteer coordinator, but we still need a... I think vendor coordinator is probably our highest priority at this point.
Okay.
I don't know. We could put that in the newsletter, but I think we have them, but that's definitely something we need to get taken care of soon.
And that's all I got.
Okay. Cool. Any more discussion? Moving on to the next report. I did not receive a YJA report with Ellen.
Yeah, I reached out to her a little bit, but it was only today to see what was up. I assume things are going somewhat smoothly if we don't hear from her, but I know some things are needed, like we need to figure out, find the new domain name, and then working out some donor functions, but I'm not quite sure what that is exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Oh.
Any more discussion on that? Moving on to marketing. As I mentioned earlier, Kyle unfortunately couldn't join us tonight due to a work application. I did not receive a report from him. Is there any discussion about marketing?
I think they've been working on some Facebook stuff. I haven't quite seen it, though, come through on anything.
Yeah.
What's that?
I know I helped him with a little bit of Facebook advertising, some art, but I haven't seen it pop up anywhere. I haven't seen any links to that or anything. I just don't know what's been going on with Facebook.
Who have you been sending that to?
Maxine and Veronique.
Okay. Well, hopefully that'll get put up there soon. I know I did need to see some activity, but I'm not quite sure how much is where its source is from. But it seems like it's going pretty well.
I mean, we do have 200 some people signed up, which I saw in some email is more than at other times, I believe, or right on target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my understanding. That's excellent. Cool. Any more discussion on marketing? Moving on to e-juggle reports. I did not receive one from Scott. However, I did get a message from Scott. He is currently booking his flight to EJC. He's going to be using our stipend that we approved a few months ago for his travel expenses for his position as the e-juggle editor. And he's working with Dennis now, so it looks like we'll have some representation and some coverage of EJC for eJuggle again, which is very cool. Moving on to membership reports. Looks like I forgot to put in the membership link. Sorry about that, but you can get to that from the IJA folder drive page. Is there any discussion about membership? Moving on to IRC, I have not heard anything from Aaron Stevens, so no news on the IRC currently.
So I have, again, worked on a little bit of art for their posters and promotions. So I know they're firming up as a Costa Rica one is the one that they've been working on, that she's been working on getting going. And it seems like it's coming along. A little bit of hiccups with them getting a venue going, but now it seems like they have that worked out.
Excellent. Oh, although I did get confirmation of flight bookings for herself and Tom Wall, respectively, to different IRCs. This was being funded by UNAMED, so they will be representing. Any more discussion on IRCs? Okay. Moving right along to motions for consideration. Motion A on the agenda is to change the signatories on the IJA accounts held by Bank of America from the signatories as of 4-1 to the following people: Nathan Wakefield, the board chair; Afton Benson, the treasurer; Dennis Morrison, bookkeeper. Any other existing signatories on the specified accounts will be removed at the time of the signature cards are returned to the Bank of America. Whew. Would someone like to make this motion?
Mrs. Jared, Mrs.
Louie, I will. Great. Mrs. Louie, I will second.
Okay, Jared makes the motion, and Louie seconds. Is there any discussion on this? Does everybody understand this? If not, I can kind of catch you up to speed about the background of this.
It seems straightforward. We need some people on those accounts, and it's Afton is the new person, Dennis has been around a while, and then Nathan is, you're in there too, which makes sense.
Yeah, it's basically giving us authorization power for these accounts. And essentially, we needed to put this on the agenda because the Bank of America needs official minutes that state this in order for us to issue these authorizations. So,
is that the date that we want on there?
Oh, no. This is changing the accounts, the people that held the account as of this date, to these people for the future dates. You see what I mean? So we're changing it from the people that had it as of April 1st to the following people going forward. So, yep. Any further discussion?
This is done in April. Okay, great. Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
The time of April, I think, great.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really going to change unless a motion is made. So, I mean, it's not going to change from April 1st to April 20th, you know. So, okay. Move to a vote. Would anyone like to oppose this motion? Do we have any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Cool.
Brief question. How many board members are present?
Four.
Good.
Okay. Moving on to motion B, motion to confirm approval of Springfield, Massachusetts as a 2018 IJA festival site. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Jared. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Jared. Do we have a second?
This is Louie. I will second.
Thank you, Louie. And let's move to discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate all the hard work Mike's done. I was just hoping for Vancouver really badly.
I totally get you, Noel. I totally get you. Did you ever hear anything back from your contacts? They seemed kind of mute.
Yeah, they fucked off. Oh, sorry, they didn't.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, I have nothing else to say on this matter. Yeah.
But I would still say keep in contact with them if they want to open it for future after that, like that can work 2019 and stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Definitely, you know, definitely keep networking and keep contacts open. You know, just because, you know, they weren't in contact with us now doesn't mean that them or someone else near there could be a good option for the future. So definitely, you know, keep ears open. Is there any more discussion on this?
I think, I just want to say real quick that I think in the future, it'd be good if the festivals were proposed at the festival. I feel like the method that we have right now is not, anyway, that's a whole different can of worms, I guess, for another day, but.
Do you mean that, like, we give options for the potential festivals at the site? Is that what you mean?
No, I mean, like, I don't think we would be the ones doing it. Say that we have it open where people can propose festivals for the future at that meeting, at the festival. Like, you know, a few years in advance, or a couple years in advance. And so, the people propose, also another thing, the people proposing the festival, should, I just don't think it's good right now, like having, like proposing a festival, but then not having somebody to plan it, you know?
Mm. Yep.
So.
You mean,
anyway, that's
not having a director.
Correct.
Yeah.
Hopefully, in a way, the person proposing it will assume directorship in a way or something, or be the contact. So people can just propose, like, I propose we do it in, I want Abilene, Texas. And be like, okay, we'll put it on the list. But somebody has to follow through and get the information, talk to the city, figure out. Like,
no, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the people that propose it, that I'm saying we should only, I'm saying in the future I think it would be good if we accepted formal proposals festival. And that would do a few good things. One, it would encourage people, like, I don't think it's good to have people organizing the festival if they haven't been to the festival, right? Like this year, I'm not sure that Veronique has been to an IJA.
She went to Bowling Green.
She was at 2013. Also, last year, Cody, he did not go to an IJA festival prior to planning, and that festival ran fairly well.
I also want to mention that Jared, to cut you off here, but Jared has, like, a really, really good point here, because when Aaron, who ran Bowling Green? That was Aaron, right?
No, it was Kim.
Okay,
Kim.
I know that, like, when we have these festivals, for example, it's hard to find someone to run them. That's the issue we ran into with Purdue last year.
Yeah.
And this upcoming year, we had Vero, who wanted the festival to be in Quebec. So she's actually really doing a good job staying on top of it, making the festival happen. I would be particularly worried if Jim Maxwell, I don't know how confirmed he is to help potentially manage the festival in El Paso, but if he's not, we're in some serious, something needs to happen. That's kind of alarming. So,
especially because it's like 1,000 miles from Austin to El Paso or something outrageous like that.
Yeah,
maybe 500. 400,
yeah,
I don't know.
I'd say it's probably a 3-hour drive.
From Austin to El Paso is a full-day drive. I just did it almost recently. I just went through there. From El Paso to Dallas, which is almost the same as, I mean, probably a little bit longer. Yeah, 500-600 miles, exactly.
Yeah, that's 600 miles. I used to drive that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
but
a full-day,
I mean,
drive. It's a full day.
The main thing I'm just trying to say
longer,
is that, like, for example, I think this is a good thing because, I mean, how are we going to have someone to run the festival? I mean, we're talking to Iowa, right? And, I mean, we just have to have that fest director, that planning for them to be lined up needs to be just not just like some Northeast juggler will do it for Springfield, but it would be nice if we could have those people lined up ahead of time, particularly like it went really bunk this year at Purdue. So, you know, like the party, the ice cream social that the Turbo, that they tried to throw at IJ this year, it didn't really go over very well, unfortunately. It was miscommunications and stuff. But, like, the party or whatever's going to happen at IJ 2015 this year for El Paso next year, feel like that's also beneficial to have, I don't know, like the director help hype the festival at the current festival. It just seems like Jared has a really good point. That's all.
Do you think it would be good to do outreach well in advance, or we should only accept future proposals from people that have kind of bundled themselves as a director? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I mean, like, for example, with Cody, we didn't have a festival director, and I worked with Cody in my business. He helped run one of my festivals, and we kind of roped him into that, having never been to IJA, and that was because we ultimately didn't have anybody. I just don't want to run into a scenario like that again.
Mm-hmm.
We were very lucky in that situation, but yeah, I think we might want to start putting outreach or something out for the next 3 years. We have a venue for the next 3 years, but we don't have 100% locked in festival director for any
mm-hmm,
of them.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a very good point. Do you think it would be good to put like maybe a call in the newsletter, or what would be a good way to kind of outreach to people, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to do it, because...
Outreach for festival propositions or for festival directors, or both?
Directors.
Essentially, since we're signing up for these festivals, next three festivals, we should be asking for festival directors for those. Maybe we already got one for next year, but for the others. The problem here is that we've been getting festival proposals from conference bureaus, and they don't provide us with a festival director. In the old days,
right.
A person who lived somewhere would say, oh, let's come to my town, I'll be the festival director. And that happened for many years. We're not doing that much these days because people are just not volunteering that. And so that's sort of why we have to come up with the festival director separately. It would be nice if the festival director would make the proposal in the first place, you know, proposal and offer to be the festival director, but it's basically not happening. But we could certainly put out a call for that sort of thing and encourage people to do those together.
And see, I feel like juggling communities, you know, would want to bring the IJ to their place, especially, you know, if they were able to split the, you know, the few grand payment or whatever, you know, for their festival. I mean, plus that they'd be able to have everybody come to their town. I just think that, I didn't get this. I mean, when I was thinking about this, I realized, hey, that's what the EJC does. And that's not necessarily why to do it, but I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of factors there, Jared. One of the biggest factors that I just keep whining about, and I feel really bad about it and not doing much about it, is that our festival requirements have probably gotten significantly more stringent, and that discourages festivals from participating. And also, being the festival director is kind of no joke, and it has a lot of qualifications. Like, there's a lot of things to be done for minimum pay as the festival director. I mean, you get paid money, it's good, but it's just not as a desirable a role. And I think those two factors, the challenge of just ensuring that you meet all the requirements of the festival venue and the festival director position itself, both aren't particularly appetizing. So that's why Mike goes out and finds the festivals for us. So it's kind of like a hard thing to approach. And I appreciate Mike's work, totally.
The festival director job is a very busy job for, you know, most of the year.
Yeah.
In fact, In past cases, we've had people who were on sabbatical do it, or people who were retired. Those sorts of things, you know, those sorts of positions give them more time. Someone who's not working can do it, can put more time into it. In fact, Mike has been able to research these things because he is retired.
Mm-hmm. I guess another question is, if we're having it in a certain area and we have someone that might be interested, do we want to do individual outreach before we do public outreach?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know the advantage of, to me, I don't see an advantage of holding back and not telling people when we make a decision or when we need, like, I don't see the advantage of, like, hiding what we need or what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. I agree there. Yeah.
We're being selective. We have such a difficult time getting anybody to do anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I was just mentioning that because I think that, for example, if some of us believe, we're not sure, that potentially, let's just use an example, Jim Maxwell is a good option for running the 2016 festival, we should definitely still put it out to the public, but definitely approach him and get him more motivated for the role if we believe that he could be a good candidate. That's all I was saying. I wasn't saying we shouldn't tell people. I was just saying that if there's somebody that's groomed to be that person, we definitely should use those people that have been reliable for us and really tip them off to the opportunity.
Right. Absolutely. And I wasn't trying to argue with you. I was just...
No, I just wanted to clarify. No problem.
Yeah, those are good idea, guys. I very much agree. I don't want to get too sidetracked here, but do you think it would be beneficial to reach out to Jim Maxwell now?
Yes, 100%, because he might need to be talked into it.
I thought he had already been reached out to. I also want to say that you're getting off the point of the motion.
Yeah, that's good.
Sorry about that.
Okay, so... yeah, we can discuss this at a later date. Back on the Springfield discussion, is there any further discussion on this particular motion? This being the case, we move to a vote. Does anyone oppose this motion? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes.
Great.
Okay. Cool, guys.
That's good because it just covers, like you said, Martin, that covers the straw poll action we did, which kind of approved it, but it was precarious a little bit, so now it's in the record. Well done.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Moving on to motion C, motion to approve the first quarter 2015 profit and loss statement and balance sheet, as submitted by our bookkeeper. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Jared. I make the motion.
Thank you, Jared. Do we have a second?
Louis, second.
Thank you, Louis. Moving on to discussion. Here are our numbers.
One question I have, I know Appen's on, but maybe somebody here can answer it. On here we have, hold on, let me find it again real quick. The restricted funds, which are those donations by UNAMED, I believe, or IWE funds?
IWE, yeah.
IWE, what is the time frame when those are unrestricted? What is the getting of those and what's that there for? Just, I still don't fully understand. I know that money's coming in and that'll help us in the future. I just don't understand when or how we can start to access that. Like, will that be in pretty much, with that much money there, it's almost in perpetuity in a way, covers our new website stuff and some of our other things we have going. I just don't know when those are accessed or when that comes available.
I can answer that. For IWE, it's 20 years after the first donation, which may have been 2010, or if he died.
Okay.
At that point, we can start using that money. if we start using that money. Otherwise, he, you know, the threat is that he will, the idea is that he might stop donating. There's not, nothing
right, okay.
that physically keeps us from using that money, but if we do, then he is liable to not donate anymore. And we want
great,
him to keep donating.
Okay, good. Yeah, of course. But if something comes up where something needs to be done, we can approach him and be like, hey, this is what's up, or what, if that comes up. Yeah, I was just wondering. I just didn't quite remember or know if, what that time frame was. Thank you.
As an aside, I just wanted to mention something along these lines. I actually received a communication from Iwi yesterday. One of the most interesting things I got out of it is he says that he actually encourages us to invest the savings because we can transfer any investment income made to the general fund and spend it as long as it's not the core amount.
Oh,
so that's something
okay.
to kind of think about. This was news to me. So I'm going to probably post some discussion about this and maybe...
No, if you invest $100,000 and are making 5% on that, that could help fund a whole other project or a whole other part of the IJA.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
You could also lose money. The issue with
yes,
this...
Of course we could, yes.
We've talked about this over the years, and the board has wanted to invest, I mean, even the savings. We had some savings. And no one ever sort of followed up on that. And we were talking about dollar cost averaging so that we didn't get into the market at the peak and, you know, lose all our money. And the market is again at peak and, you know, we're still at that sort of risk. So we probably don't want to just throw all the money into the market all of a sudden.
Right.
But it is something we could do.
Yeah. It's more of just a hypothetical. I'm not suggesting we by any means go ahead and act on this. Just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, that would be horrible if we lost it all.
Might be wise to put some of that money, at least, into the market at some point.
Right.
And if you know what dollar cost averaging is, that's one good way to do it. Basically, it means putting, you know, let's say $10,000 or $5,000 into the market every month, or $1,000, whatever. And then if the market goes down, next month you're putting more. Anyway, you get more for your money. So forth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, excellent. Is there any further discussion on the profit and loss and balance sheet statements? Okay, we move to a vote to approve these. Do we have anyone to oppose the approval of these documents? Would anyone like to abstain? Okay, they are approved. Motion passes. Okay, moving on. That is it for motions, guys. We're moving on to Varia. There is one topic that I had listed that myself and Jared wanted to discuss a little bit. That is the topic of the 2014 Festival DVD, as well as potentially going forward with future video releases. I posted a thread in the Board Plus forum. Long story short, I have not heard from any volunteers, or haven't heard from anyone that knows anyone that is interested in editing the festival DVD. Several ads in the newsletter have not yielded any applicants. So the idea was, is this something we want to attempt to do internally? I volunteered to potentially do it, even though I'm very busy right now. And then Jared also volunteered with that.
Bless you.
So I just kind of wanted to get some dialogue going on this. So...
This is Louie. I know a guy who used to be a juggling partner of mine. I've known him for 20 years. He went to film school, video editing, that sort of world. I can float it by him. He's now retired from juggling full-time, but he still does computer work and stuff on the side. What sort of money world or compensation world would be part of that? Or is it just a volunteer thing?
It is, we can afford to pay. This has been traditionally a paid position. I can throw out a few numbers. Our current editor, I believe, well, he hasn't been paid out, but I believe his contract is around $2,700. Before that, we were contracted for 2012 with $1,000, which was actually a very good deal. And then when we had Ivan Pacell doing it, I did not see the contracts, but I was told that was around 4K, which is a little higher than I think we can afford to do this year, especially if you look at our annual budget that was created in January. So to answer your question, we could potentially do a couple grand.
Do you have a job posting for this? I might also know somebody.
Great.
Yeah, I'm sure we all know, like, to have that friend who would be like, great, I need an editing job right now so it could work.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys know someone, I think it would be ideal if we could find someone outside who's reliable. The issue I've had, and part of the reason why I was volunteering to do it myself is, you know, working as the video coordinator, our last two video editors, for whatever reason, it's been very difficult to communicate with them, and our deadlines have not been met, which is kind of frustrating when you're dealing with a paid contractor. So
that's
kind of an issue. I mean, it is a very substantial workload, I will say that. I mean, there's a lot of raw footage to edit. But it's just a matter of finding somebody who, I guess, has the time and communication to really go through this and do it well. So that's kind of the issue I've had, is people that communicate and can commit to certain deadlines.
Yeah, could you, on that thread, put together just a little bit of maybe estimates on your time or the other person's time, how long it took, how many hours of footage, so if Jared and I were to talk to anybody, we could give them a clearer idea of what they're up against?
Ooh, you know, I honestly, I can't say how much editing hours it would be. I can give you a rough idea of, like, the number of chapters we need and their durations.
Yeah.
And I could also reach out to Jayco. I could talk to Jayco about how much footage he has, but I cannot give you an estimate on workload times.
Workload time, yeah, but maybe, like, I think editor might be able to look at, like, well, that's 15 hours of stuff to edit down to 2 hours. That would, you know, they might. So, yeah, just more of that, the how many hours of raw footage, how many hours it's supposed to be edited down to type thing.
Okay, wow, this is great. So, okay, I can reach out to Jake and get that information.
Yeah, my editor, just to mention, you know him, Zan would potentially be interested in editing this.
What's his name, Noel?
Zan, Z-A-N. He made the Encyclopedia Volume 1 and Volume 2. He's my partner.
Yeah, I remember those. He was at Kinetic a couple years ago, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was just out playing with me, and he might be looking for some work.
That guy.
Yeah, that's where I like having somebody like my guy too, Duncan. Having somebody who has been in the juggling world a little bit with that eye of what's cool, what's necessary, what's neat part of the thing would help instead of just having somebody who's new to juggling or something.
Okay. Well, hey, yeah, I'd like to. So how about this? For next steps, I will get a hold of Jayco, and I will get kind of a breakdown of, like, the time frame the duration of raw footage he has and how it's broken down. Then I will kind of just write a brief summary of how our videos are traditionally edited, and then I can shoot that out to you, Noel, and Louie, and if you want to run this by your editors, you know, if it's something they're interested in, if they want to give us a quote, and we can potentially start a dialogue. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah.
Yep.
One of my goals that I was trying to do as a video coordinator with our last editor, and it just did not work out, is I think it would be really beneficial if we could establish a long-term video editor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be really, really awesome, because not only would it be it would also establish, like, a certain level of continuity with the way our videos look. So I think that would be very beneficial.
Yeah, I agree, and, you know, one thing to keep in mind, too, is that we're trying to get the video edited from a year ago. So
yeah.
I'm sure there are people that are really, you know, they're going to come to the festival, and they're going to be like, where's the video? It's not done yet, so it's, you know.
I hear you on that, Jared. It does not make us look good, but if we have someone waiting in the wings, we can just shoot a hard drive over for and get that sucker out in a couple months. That would be
exactly.
Very cool. Very cool. So,
do we have the 2013 video up?
2013? Well, I reached out to our Pablo, our current editor, And I told him that we approved $80 to resend the master discs, and I asked him to please reformat the menu so they were correct. I did not hear back from him. I shot him another email 2 weeks later. He did not return my email. I will shoot him one more, and if not, well...
Tell him if you don't hear from him within like 3 days, that we're just going to go with what we've got.
Okay.
Because we can't wait forever.
Okay. That sounds good. Okay, I'll reach out to him and do that.
At least if you hear from him, he can tell us how long it'll take. But if he doesn't say anything, we have to assume he's not there.
Right.
After this amount of time.
Yeah, it's been spotty, but I think that's a good logical course of action. So.
We're only 2 years late for that video.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Any further discussion on the video side of things?
I don't really want to... I mean, did I hear you say earlier, Nathan, that we should maybe discuss whether or not we want to make a video in the future? Did I hear you say that?
That was not something I brought up, but, you know, if that's something you would like to discuss, we're welcome to do that. Did you want to talk about that?
I thought you might have said that, but I guess I misunderstood.
I think somebody said that on the Board Plus forum, and I think that'd be a good place to discuss that.
I agree.
Is anybody here not reading the Board Plus forum or not being notified when posts are made there? You should subscribe. All the board members at least should subscribe to the Board Plus forum so you know when something's happening. Anybody not subscribed? I'll take that as a no.
Yes, no.
I'll say that I am subscribed, and I'm glad that I am. Because before, when I wasn't, I didn't know when I was missing stuff, like you said.
Good.
Yeah, if you're not speaking up, I highly recommend subscribing, or at the very least, checking it every few days. It really is beneficial to have that communication. It is. Okay, but like Martin said, if we want to discuss get off on a sidetrack about if we want to do a video or not, that is something that would be well served for these forums. Okay, could somebody mute their phone, please?
Yeah, and by the way, Nathan, I got to go in 3 minutes.
Okay, that being the case, does anyone want to discuss anything further? Otherwise, we will just continue to set our May meeting. Any further discussion? Cool. Okay, let's move on to item 8, setting next month's meetings. Okay, let me get out my calendar here. So, May. Let's see. We could do the 5th or the 12th for a vision planning meeting. Is there a preference on either of those dates?
Either works for me. It looks like just going by our last schedule, like the 12th and the 26th seem appropriate, just how we've been doing it.
Mm-hmm. I will say the 26th works slightly better for me for our business meeting. Does that day work okay for people?
Mm-hmm.
It is okay. The day after Memorial Day.
The business meeting? You mean this meeting?
The business meeting, correct. Yeah, I kind of jumped around there. But, so, when I will schedule the vision planning meeting, is there a preference for the 5th or the 12th? Okay, I guess if there's no objections, we'll just do the 5th. Does that work?
Great.
Okay, and do you guys want to confirm that the 26th works good for the business meeting? Okay, I guess we'll go with that then. And I'd just like to show that the time is 7:29, so it was less than an hour, guys. Good job. Moving to item 9, adjournment. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Ah, there's the rub. You can't adjourn.
This is Louie. I'll make a motion.
Wow. Well, you like that. All right. Thanks, Louie. All right. Any discussion, guys?
My.
What was that, Jared?
Bye. Goodbye.
Oh, bye. So you said my. Okay. All right. Moving to a vote. Does anyone oppose adjournment? Any abstentions? Meeting is adjourned at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
What? Ah, see you guys.
All done.